that we can understand prayer
a little bit better.
Father,
as the disciples asked Jesus, so we ask you this morning, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, show us how to pray, show us what to pray. I ask, Lord, that we would have enriching prayer lives, fruitful prayer lives, wonderful times of intimacy with you, Lord. So, Lord, teach us to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sir Isaac Newton said that he could take his telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space. Then he added, but when I lay it aside, go into my room, shut the door, and get down on my knees in earnest prayer, I see more of heaven and feel closer to the Lord than if I were assisted by all the telescopes on earth. Perhaps one of the greatest truths in all of Scripture is the fact that as Christians, we can have an intimate, personal conversation with God. As Christians, we can speak to God as our Heavenly Father. Anytime. As long as you want. About any subject that you want. And you are never a nuisance to God, and God always has time to listen to you personally. Think of it. Prayer is amazing. It is a joy. It is a privilege. It is such a powerful thing. Well, Jesus continues teaching on prayer here in Luke chapter 11, and I believe that he teaches us the kind of attitude that we need to have when we pray. Look at this interesting story that Jesus says to the disciples in verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If you're a note taker, then your first point would be this. In this passage, Jesus is teaching us that we need to pray persistently. We are to persist in our prayer life. Jesus is saying, don't ever become weary or discouraged with prayer. Don't ever give up on prayer. Persist in it. Pray persistently. Persistence really, really does work. As this story that Jesus tells shows. What's going on in this story? Well, you have two houses side by side in a neighborhood. This is no doubt a middle class or a lower class neighborhood. So the houses would have been very, very simple. A typical house in a neighborhood like that would have been a one-room structure. And inside the house, in a portion of the house, there would be a raised platform, sort of like the stage. On that raised platform, every member of the family would sleep at night. Mom, dad, kids, and they had lots of them in those days. And then the rest of the room was bare floor. and their animals slept inside with them. Donkeys, goats, sheep. And so that's the type of house we're looking at. And this story takes place at midnight, right in the middle of the night. One of the neighbors gets an unexpected guest, a good friend from out of town, shows up and knocks on his door at midnight. Hospitality was a very, very big thing in those days. So the first thing they would want to do is feed their guests. Bread, water, get them taken care of. So he gets up and he looks in the cupboard and there's nothing there. So what does he do? He goes next door to his neighbor in the middle of the night. Bangs on the door. Get up! I need 3 loaves of bread. I have a guest that I'm trying to entertain and I have nothing. And from inside the house you hear, do you know what time it is? Are you crazy? Get out of here. Don't trouble me. I think you and your friend need to have a fast until morning. Because there they are, all asleep. All on this platform. And if he's going to get up, he's going to climb over kids. Parents, you have young kids. Isn't it a drag when they get woken up? Man, once they get down, you want them to stay down for a while. And so this guy is like, get out, leave, don't trouble me. But the neighbor doesn't give up. Keeps banging. Stays persistent. Get up, I need 3 loaves of bread. Finally, this man gets out of his bed, he climbs over his kids, over the animals, into the cupboard, gets the 3 loaves of bread, comes and opens the door. And this guy gets his bread. Persistence works. Persistence, even with a grumpy, old, sleepy neighbor, works. There's that old saying, you ever heard this? The squeaky wheel gets the grease. What does that mean? The wheel that squeaks and squeaks and squeaks and squeaks, that gets the attention, that gets the oil. And I have found that there are times in this life when you have to squeak a lot. Maybe you've had somebody do a project in your house or your backyard and you know, you've even paid them and they're dragging their feet. So what do you have to do? Squeak, 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 call, call, call. You have to practically exhaust some people into doing what they're said they were going to do. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know, Kim and I have a dog. A golden retriever, and he understands that. We love our dog so much, but he gets up so early. So early, he's got to go out, you know, and sometimes as early as 5. And we can hear him, and he goes through his ritual up and down the hallway, up and down the hallway. And we ignore him, and then finally he'll come to my side of the bed, and he'll nudge me with his cold, wet nose. And he just does that time and time again. And so, what do I have to do? Well, the only thing left to do is to wait for him to go to my wife's side of the bed. I'll admit to you, Kim does let the dog out. She's a morning person. I'm a night person. I have a very persistent dog. And persistence works. Now, don't read too much into this story. You got to be careful here. Let us not think of our Heavenly Father as if He were this grumpy, annoyed, sleepy neighbor in the story. God isn't like that. God is not grumpy. God does not get annoyed with us. God does not sleep. Our Heavenly Father is gracious and loving, and He's wide awake. And so He is not to be thought of as the neighbor in this story. That neighbor is sort of a bad example. And let us not think that we have to somehow exhaust God into getting what we want. That we have to keep pounding on the doors of heaven And we pound and we pound and we pound, knowing that eventually God will get tired of our pounding. Open the door of heaven and come and give us what we want, what we're asking for. Don't think of God in that way, and don't think of prayer in that way. That is not the point of the story. That is not the idea of the story. The point is simply this. There is great, great reward for the one who has a persistent, consistent, patient prayer life with the Heavenly Father. God calls us to pray persistently, and there is great reward. There is great fruit that abounds. God calls us to that. Look what it says in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. In the Greek language, those are present indicative tense verbs, meaning they're a continuous action. So it could read, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. The idea is keep praying. Persist in prayer. Don't ever give up on prayer. Question. Why do we have to persist in some prayers? Why is it that sometimes God seems to take way too long to answer a prayer? We like microwave prayers, don't we? We like fast food prayers. We want those quick answers. But there are times, I know in my life at least, where I've prayed through something for a long time. And there's this idea of persisting through a prayer, an ask and keep on asking. Why? I think there are some very good answers to that question. One explanation could be spiritual warfare. I believe that spiritual warfare sometimes delays prayer requests from being answered. And you sort of have to pray through spiritual warfare. There's an interesting story in Daniel chapter 10. You don't need to turn there, but at the beginning of Daniel chapter 10, Daniel has seen a vision of some sort, a dream, and it troubles him and he doesn't understand it. It's a very troubling thing for Daniel. And so he enters into a 3-week period of fasting and prayer. For 21 days, Daniel's praying every day and fasting, looking for answers and understanding. On the 21st day, an angel shows up. And it's very interesting what this angel says to Daniel. I'm just going to read it to you. It's Daniel chapter 10, 12 through 14, if you're taking notes. The angel says to Daniel, listen, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. From the first day, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. But now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. Isn't that interesting? On day one, Daniel's praying. On day one, his words were heard. But there was a spiritual warfare, some battle taking place up there in the heavenlies that delayed this angel from getting to Daniel. And I think there are sometimes we come before the Lord with some prayer requests that set off all kinds of fireworks in the heavenlies. And it is important that we persist and pray through. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. One possible explanation. Another possible explanation I would call clarification. I think that there are many times that our Heavenly Father makes us wait so that our prayer requests can become more clarified. So that we are given perhaps a little more time to think about what we're asking. I think God makes us wait to give us an opportunity to fall into line more with God's will. Last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer, the last time we were in Luke together a couple weeks ago. And I believe that that prayer really shows us the essence of prayer. I believe prayer is the ultimate expression of submission. Prayer is not about us or our requests even. Prayer is about God and what He wants to do. Remember how the prayer starts? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. It's about the Lord and finding His will and praying according to His will. Jesus told His disciples in John chapter 14, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. What does it mean to ask in Jesus' name? Is that sort of the magic abracadabra at the end of the prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. And then we're going to automatically get that answered the way we want it answered. No, to pray in Jesus' name is to pray as Jesus would. To pray as His representative. It's again, finding the will of God. And I think this whole process of asking, seeking, knocking, going through that process with your prayer requests sort of causes your prayer requests to change and adapt until they come into more line with God's will. So clarification. Kim and I have learned something very important about our kids and Christmas and birthday. We've learned not to ask them too early what they want for Christmas or their birthday. We'll ask one of our kids, hey, what do you want for your birthday? Maybe the birthday's 2 months away. And they'll say, a bike. I want a bike. And so Kim and I want to get a little head start on things, so we go out and get the bike. A couple weeks later, you know, I've been thinking about that question you asked me a couple weeks ago about what I wanted for my birthday. What I really want is a scooter. So what do we have to do? Well, we take the bike back and then get the scooter and maybe even wrap it up. We want to get a head start. Couple weeks later, you know, I've been thinking some more. And that process sort of continues, so we've sort of learned to wait for at least a couple weeks before the event to ask. In their mind, it becomes more clarified. Have you ever done that with God? Have you ever asked God for something 1 week and then a couple weeks later say, forget that one. I don't want that. I want something else. And there can be that time of clarification, that time of waiting. And so as we persist in prayer, I believe it becomes more and more clear what we should pray for, so that we're praying according to God's will. Another good explanation for why we must persist in some prayers would be this. Relationship. Fellowship. Did you know that God wants to hang out with you? He wants fellowship with us. He wants relationship with us. And so I believe He causes us to continue to persist in certain prayer requests because that's how we'll stay in touch with Him more often. And get closer to Him. Think about it, guys. If God always answered yes, right? If every prayer was a microwave prayer, what would that do to your prayer life? Your prayer life would become probably non-existent. Every time you needed something, you'd shoot a quick, dear Jesus, give me this. And then you'd take the goods and run. And you'd say, thank you, God, I'll show up the next time I have something that I want. What a drag that some Christians actually pray that way. This asking, this seeking, this knocking, this persisting in prayer, I believe causes us to enter into a more intimate relationship and fellowship with the Heavenly Father. And talking about reward, here's the greatest reward that comes along with persistent praying. You get God. You get Him. You get time with your Father. So, pray persistently. Second point, Jesus in this passage, I believe, is also teaching us that we need to pray confidently. Pray confidently. Have confidence in prayer. You know, I don't like the way some people talk about prayer or think about prayer. There are some people that they get into trouble in life and they put all their time and energy into it. And it's like at the end when there's no hope, that's when they pray. It's like prayer is the last ditch effort. I have this problem and I've worked so hard to solve it. I've walked all around this problem from every angle. I've thought of everything I could possibly do. I've tried everything. Nothing's left. There's no more hope. The only thing left to do is pray. Is that how you view prayer? Or every now and then I hear someone talk about somebody else and say something like this: that person's in a lot of trouble. He doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a prayer. Like prayer is some childish, superstitious, silly little thing. Brother and sister in Christ, we should pray confidently. Amen? Rest assured, if you are a child of God, then you can be assured and confident that God hears your prayer. Christian, when you pray, you can be absolutely assured and confident that God understands your prayer and cares about you. Christian, you can be absolutely assured and confident that God has the power to move in your life through prayer. And Christian, you can be absolutely assured and confident that God will respond to your prayer. He'll react. Look at the promise right here in this passage. Verse 9, I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened. Everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Those are promises. When you pray to your Heavenly Father, He hears, He understands, He cares, and I guarantee you He will respond. He won't ignore you. You're His child. Parents, do you ignore your kids? Well, sometimes, right? To be honest. But do you ignore your kids when they come to you with a need? When they have a request for you? What do? You respond. Now, you respond in different ways. Sometimes you tell your kids yes. Sometimes you tell your kids no. Sometimes you tell your kids wait. Sometimes you tell your kids maybe. That depends. God is our Heavenly Father. We're His children. And I believe He responds to us in the same way. He'll say yes. He'll say no. He'll say wait. Or He'll say maybe. That depends. But He will give you a response. And no matter what the response is, it will be a receiving of something, a finding of something, an opening of something.
It'll be something good. Pray confidently. Another way to put it in Scripture is pray with faith. Pray with faith in the Heavenly Father. Third point. I believe that in this passage, Jesus is teaching us to pray expectantly. Pray persistently, pray confidently, and then pray expectantly. Look what he says in verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to pray expectantly, church. And by praying expectantly, I mean this. We need to pray to the Heavenly Father, expecting Him to give us good things. And I'll even take it a step further. I think we should pray to the Heavenly Father, knowing and convinced, expecting that He will give us the very best for our lives. The best stuff. The best outcomes. The absolute best for our lives. Jesus, again, mentions earthly fathers, earthly parents, and their reaction with their kids. As parents, we're human, human beings, fallen human beings, and there's evil in our hearts and wickedness. We sin. But still, even as earthly parents, we know how to give good stuff to our kids, don't we? We know that. That's sort of built into us. If your son comes up to you and asks you for a piece of bread, or a loaf of bread, are you going to give him a rock that looks like a piece of bread? And then wait for him to take a bite? Oh, honey, look, he cracked a tooth. Get a camera out. Do we do that? If your daughter asks you for fish, you're going to take them to Long John Silver's or something, right? You're not going to give her a snake. Although I think my boys would like a snake. They might think that was kind of cool, but another story. If they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? And apparently there were scorpions in the area in those days that were big white scorpions. And they'd roll up into a ball and look like an egg. Would you do that to your kid? Absolutely not. We bless our kids, don't we? We give them good things. We spoil our kids. We give them exactly what they want a lot of times. And then we give them extra even, don't we? We know how to give good gifts to our children. Brother and sister in Christ, your Heavenly Father is perfect. There's no sin or evil in Him. He's your dad. Don't you think He knows how to give you good gifts? Good things? Great things? The best things? He does. Psalm 84:11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." Romans 8:28, Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." My brother and sister in Christ, God will give you the best. God will give you good. He's already given us the best, hasn't He? He gave us His Son. We're in sin. We're
destined for hell and eternal separation from God. We're in a mess. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus was sent. The Savior was sent. And He was sacrificed, butchered on a cross. Given. In payment for sins, our sins. He rose again the third day, defeating death, and He's alive today. God gave us Jesus. He gave us the best. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Consider that. Our Heavenly Father is a Father who gave us His Son. He is benevolent. He is gracious. He is loving. He will give us great blessings now, today. He has great blessings in store for us in all of heaven. He's making a mansion for us. Oh, the things that God has given! If persistence is fruitful with a grumpy old sleeping neighbor, how much more fruitful will persistence be with a gracious, loving, benevolent, all-powerful, wide-awake Heavenly Father? If earthly parents know how to give good things, how much more does God know how to give good things to His kids? Now, some of you are thinking, I hear all that you're saying, but there have been some prayer requests that I've asked and I didn't receive. And I don't think that was good. I've had some things that I've asked God for and I didn't get it, and I think God withheld a good thing from me. Oh no, listen. This is what I mean by pray expectantly. No matter what the answer, it is God's best for you. I love how William Barclay put it. He says, when you pray, remember these three things. When you pray, remember these three things. The love of God that wants the best for you. The wisdom of God that knows what is best for you. And the power of God that can accomplish it. And I will tell you this morning, I promise you, as you look through Scripture, you see it all over, that God wants all of His kids to be spiritually strong, spiritually healthy. And that is His priority as He works in our lives. And so no matter how He's working in your life, it's for your best spiritually, and you can count on it. Verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. It's the Holy Spirit who is our source of strength and spiritual health and power. God wants us strong spiritually. God wants us to have good characters. God wants us to be fruitful for His kingdom. And He will always answer in a way that makes that happen. And my brother and sister in Christ, that's the best thing that could happen. Amen? We need to learn these lessons and keep these lessons in our heart as we pray. A lot of times we get so focused on our prayer requests. You know, perhaps somebody loses a job. And the prayer day after day is, Lord, find me a new job. I need a new job. That's good. That's a good request. God does care about that. But maybe as you're asking for a new job, you might ask things like, Lord, help me to learn more dependence upon you. Help me to become stronger through this. Or Lord, maybe you've got a total new change in direction for my life. Perhaps a new career. Perhaps something different. Let me be totally open. What do you want to do? I want to find your will. And you pray according to his will. He will give you the best answer that is necessary for your life. Maybe a brand new job the next day. Maybe a different job that you never thought of. Maybe an extended time of asking, seeking, and knocking, and you'll become way more dependent on God and stronger as a Christian man or woman. But it's all the best. It's all good, and God knows exactly what he's doing. Amen? What a privilege we have to pray. Pray persistently. Pray confidently. Pray expectantly. And may the Lord totally ignite our prayer lives as we practice these lessons. As we close, we've looked at prayer over the last couple of times together in Luke, and there's one thing that you notice in the prayer instruction that Jesus gives. Prayer is for members of the family of God. It's a family practice. The Lord's Prayer opens this way: Our Father, who art in heaven. And here you see the allusion that Jesus makes to human parents with their children. The idea being is that prayer is something for children of God. People who are members of God's family. Prayer only happens. Prayer is only fruitful to the person who has become a child in the family of God. To the person who can say, God, you're my heavenly Father. And the scripture is very clear about how one becomes a child in the family of God. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You must receive Christ. God has given his best. God has given his Son as the sacrifice for the sins of the world. In order to become a child of God, you must invite Christ into your life. Take that sacrifice that he made on your behalf. Put your faith in him. Receive Christ into your life. You become a child. And you get to pray to your heavenly Father. As we bow our heads and close our eyes, I want to extend an invitation this morning. First, Lord, we all as your people would just like to take a moment right now to thank you for opening up heaven to us. For allowing us to have the privilege of communicating with you. And I ask, Lord, that as your people, we would recognize the tremendous blessing that is, and that we would pray often, that our prayer lives would be dynamic, wonderful. Thank you for that privilege, Lord. And then, Father, I would like to pray for anyone here this morning who's never become a child in your family.
For anyone here, Lord, that has never had their sins forgiven, who's never put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. Is that you? Are you here this morning? And you've never received Christ. You've never become confident in your life that you are a child of God. You can know this morning. You can become a daughter. You can become a son. Recognize that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins and rose again that third day, and ask Him right now to be your Savior, for Him to cleanse your sins. The moment you make that decision, that choice, your sins are forgiven and you become a member of the family of God. And oh, how life opens up. Oh, man. If there would be one here this morning that needs to make that decision, I'm going to give you an opportunity to show that. Just simply raise your hand so I can see it. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to receive Christ into my heart this morning. I want to become a child of God. Raise your hand high so I can see it. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Today I'm joining the family of God. I'm putting my faith in Christ. Lift your hand up high. If you raised your hand, or you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this, simply pray this prayer of salvation. Say, Lord Jesus, wash away my sins. Become my Savior. Come into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. For paying my penalty. I receive you. I come into your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.